afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trail. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. We'd like to have you call in today if you have questions or care to make a comment on mining in Alaska. Or maybe you just want to chat for a few minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier experiences. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Well, folks, I'd like to make a few comments today. I want to give you some comments regarding some of the friends that I have out in the 40-mile area of Alaska. I want to say hello to Larry and June Taylor, who came in and visited with us and let us know that they were hearing our program, Alaska Gold Trails, out there in the 40-mile country. And also want to say thank you to Robin Hammond in Chicken that wrote us a real fine letter. I certainly appreciate her correspondence with us. In addition to that, I've been giving some thought to a telephone call that we received, or that we received on Alaska Gold Trails last week, in which one of the callers made the comment that maybe sometime that somebody should interview Jim Madonna because he thought that I might have a lot to offer in terms of the history of Alaska, and I certainly appreciate somebody thinking that I might be qualified to join some of these pioneers here. I don't think I have that many years in Alaska, but I certainly appreciate the thought. I was really taken with it. And in just a few minutes, we're going to have our guest today, and that's Emery Chappell. But before we do that, of course, we have to do what we do every week at this time, and of course, that's have our contest. And today, I will take the third caller with the correct answer to the question. And when I say the correct answer, it's interesting to note that three callers can give information regarding one of my major sponsors here on Alaska Gold Trails from three different points of view. And today, I'll give you the phone number of the sponsor. You can call that sponsor, find out who they are, where they're located, and what they do. And then you can give us a call here at Alaska Gold Trails. And our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And give us that information. And this time, I want to know who the sponsor is that has the phone number 452-6491. I'll give you a little bit more information. They are located, they advertise on the back of a book that most of us handle here in the Fairbanks area, and I will take the third caller will win a one troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street, and the first two callers will win a beautiful crystalline geode from Alaskan Prospectors, located at 504 College Road in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'll get those numbers straight. So, let's go now to our first caller and see what they have to say. Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, that's B&L Pond.
Okay, you got that part right. Where are they located?
605 Gaffney.
Tell me what they do.
Oh, they loan money against items of value. They sell items. They have the ability to give you some real good buys once in a while on items that they've taken in and people haven't been able to reclaim. And they specialized in, shall we say, the ready cash business.
I see. They're a loan.
They're a loan.
Right?
Loan and
pawn. B&L Pawn Shop.
Yep.
And tell me, have you heard about Killer over at B&L Pawn?
Killer's the boss, huh?
Killer's the boss. And you know, if you go over to B&L, Killer will give you a sweet deal if you tell her that you heard from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails. You know that?
Yeah, I've heard you say that before, Jim.
Yeah, well, you know, that was a deal that we made a long time ago. And, you know, she stood behind that for, what, 2 years I've been on the air now. And she stood right behind that. And I think that if you talk to Killer, you'll get a sweet deal over there at B&L Pawn Shop. By the way, what's your first name?
Art.
Art, stop over at Alaskan Prospectors. That's 504 College Road. It's in the old Quonset hut.
Know where it is.
Oh, you do? Well, stop over there, Art, and by golly, they'll give you a beautiful crystalline geode. And sometime give us a call back here and tell us what you think about those geodes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Art. Bye. Thanks for the call. Hi, you're caller number two. Hello? Nobody's there? You're caller two.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. We're talking about
B&L Pawn Shop. What can you tell me about B&L Pawn Shop and where they are? And
605 Gaffney.
They're at 605 Gaffney, and that's the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. And can you tell us what they do?
Well, they buy, sell, and trade, and they deal in gold and jewelry and guitars, car stereos, and you name it. And they also keep your valuables while you're on vacation.
Well, that's something I didn't know. Is that right? They'll store your valuables.
That's right.
Oh, that's great. That's great news. Anything else that you'd like to say about them?
Well, I'm sure that I have new inventory every week. So you might drop in and check what they've got.
Okay. And the final question is, do you know Killer?
No, I don't know her personally.
Have you heard about her?
Yes, sir.
Well, she'll sweeten the deal, won't she?
Yes,
have you heard
right.
that? Okay.
Thank you.
What's your name? And I'll just...
My name's Gary.
Gary, just stop over to Alaskan Prospectors at 504 College Road and pick up your crystalline geode.
Thank you.
And keep calling in here.
All right.
Thanks much. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
You're caller number three.
It's B&L Pawn Shop.
B&L Pawn Shop. Tell me all you know about B&L Pawn Shop.
Oh, I know they got some dynamite deals down there, and they have cameras, and jewelry, and stereos, and guns, and tools. And it's at 605 Gaffney.
And tell me something. Are you looking at the back of that book?
No, I'm looking in the phone book.
That's right. On the back page, on the back of the cover?
No, I don't have the new one.
Oh, you don't have the new one?
I looked it up in the yellow pages.
Oh.
Well, everybody ought to look it up.
Oh, is that right? Well, okay. I just wanted to point out that they have a beautiful ad on the back of the current phone book. But if you looked it up in the yellow page, everybody should look in the yellow pages.
Well, I certainly think
And
so.
Thank you very much. And you know what you have done?
Yes.
What have you done?
I'm the third caller.
You're the third caller, and what does that mean?
That means I get a silver ingot.
You get a silver ingot. So why don't you give me your name, and I'll put it down here on this certificate.
It's Janet.
Janet?
P.
Janet P.
T as in Tom.
Oh, T. Okay, Janet, I've got it on the certificate here. You have to come up to Washington Plaza here at the KFAR studio.
I know where you're at.
You know where I'm at. You pick up your certificate, and then where are you going? Where are you going to take the certificate? You're going to take it to Oxford Assaying and Refining, located
at... Yes, I've been there, and it just slipped my mind.
Yeah? 208 Wendell Street? You know, you go upstairs in that building? Have you been there? Have you seen their mineral or their gold display there?
No, I haven't.
Oh, when you go in there, take a look at it. It's small, nice little coin and gold display there. You'll just love it.
But I do. I go up to the university every year and look at their displays up there, and it's fun. There's nothing quite like that silver and gold, is there?
No, it's got something about it that's kind of warm, and it beckons you, doesn't it?
Gold, you better believe
silver,
it.
Precious metals. It does something. Well, your certificate is waiting for you, Janet, and thanks so much for playing the game.
Well, and I thank you very much. You have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello? I guess that's the end of it. Today we're here on Alaska Gold Trails with Emery Chappell. He is my guest today, and Emery, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Well, glad to be here, Jim. Pleasure.
Well, Emery, give us a little background. Where were you born? How long ago were you born there? And what kind of environment were you raised in?
Well, I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. Be another couple weeks, be 61 years ago. I've spent most of my life here in Alaska ever since I was about 12 years old, and then I went back outside to high school. The rest of the time I've been up here kicking around all over the country.
Tell me, where did you land in Alaska when you first came up? Did you come up alone or with your parents, or what was the...
Well, I came up with my family. We went out to Dutch Harbor in the Aleutian Islands in 1941, March of 41. We came up on the Alaska Steam, which is the way everybody came in those days.
And how did you like this Alaska Steam Ship Company? Did you enjoy that trip?
Oh yeah, I was just a kid. I was the oldest of five boys, and we come up on the McKinley as far as Seward, and then took the Lackinac out. I think we're 13 days on the trip getting there.
Tell us a little bit about that trip on the Lackinac. You know, I've never had a guest on that went out into the Aleutian chain by ship. You went to Seward.
Yes.
By the Alaska Steamship Company. We've had a number of guests on that have not only come up on first class or the upper class, but also steerage.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And but then when you went from Seward, how this other ship, what was
it? It was a smaller boat. It was Alaska, still Alaska Steam, but they had a couple of ships that ran the Aleutians.
Uh-huh.
And the Lackinac, I think, was the name of it. And it was interesting to me then, and as it has been times I've been out there since, but we stopped at every village on the coast, and everything was lighter in those days. There were no docks. I think Seldovia and Kodiak, there were no docks until we got to Dutch Harbor. Everything else was lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting thing for a kid.
What was, you say you went to Dutch Harbor. What was the happening in Dutch Harbor at that time?
Well, just prior to World War II, they built Sitka and Kodiak and Dutch Harbor as naval air stations in preparation for World War II. And that's, my dad was out there, and we went out there to live. And we stayed there until after the war started, and then they evacuated the women and kids out of there.
Uh-huh. And as you grew up there, did you have an educational facility? And
well, when I first went there were no schools, so my dad put me to work on a survey gang, and I worked there until about a month or so before the war started. Then they started school. There was 8 grades in one room. I was the 8th grader.
You were the 8th grader, huh? And you had to leave during the war. They took all the women and children out. And did you go back since that time? Have you been back there?
Well, I was in Dutch Harbor about 10 years ago, and found the house I used to live in. The fact is that it's now the New England Fish Office, or it was then. I assume it still is. One of the few houses that's been at all maintained.
Uh-huh.
Up there. The whole base is pretty much abandoned and torn down. The crab fishery and the fishing fleet work out of there and on Alaska.
I see. Was there anything out at Dutch Harbor? Was there any villages or anything prior to you going there, or was it just barren?
Well, there was a Standard Oil station at Dutch Harbor. Only a couple of three families were there, and a naval radio station. And then there was a village on Alaska, which is right across the narrow neck of water there, was a native village.
I see. Well, now, what year again was it that you left? That was, what, 40?
Well, we left there in January of 42, right after the war.
In 42?
Mm-hmm.
And where did you go from there, Emory?
Oh, went and stayed at my uncle's ranch in Lower British Columbia for a while, and then moved back into Seattle when my dad came out that summer. And that's where I went to high school, was in Seattle.
So you did you finish, you finished high school there?
Yes, after I came back up here once and worked on Cook Inlet, and then I went back out and finished high school after the war.
I see. How did you happen to come back up here and work in Cook Inlet? What drew you up here that time?
Well,
was that again with your family, or was that were you alone?
No, I turned 17 that in May, and I'd planned on going to the Navy as soon as I turned 17, but my dad could see the end of the war coming. He wouldn't sign for me, so I got a job on a tugboat or a tender. We served the tug as a tender, worked out between Seattle and Cook Inlet, and worked in Cook Inlet. Then when the war was over, I went back home and finished high school.
I see. And tell us about the tugboat business. Tell what did the tugs do?
Well, underpowered deals in those days, they weren't the tugs you see today. This one we had We had two barges in tow, and it took us 28 days to get from Seattle to Anchorage. And then we took barges to Yagataga, where they built the CAA. In those days, they called it the CAA. We took barges into in the Kasilif River, which started Kenai.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the name of the lagoon or the bay, but across over there where we took barges in there, and where they built a road overland to build Iliamna.
Yeah, I hiked that road, by the way.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did.
And then during the fishing season, we worked as a tender. All the fishing in Cook Inlet in those days was beach seining, and they all had their little rafts out there, or
yeah,
the floats, and we'd pick up the fish. It was kind of interesting. I worked at it. And
you worked it one season?
Yes, one season.
One season. And so following that period of time, you went back outside and got your high school?
Yes,
finished up your high school?
Finished high school, and then I didn't come back up here until March of 49. I came into Fairbanks that time. I came over the road. My dad and I came up together. Mm-hmm. We had some contracts here and on Ladd Field.
What kind of contracts did you have?
Mechanical, plumbing, heating contractors.
I see.
And I was just turning out of the trade in those days, and we had some jobs at Ladd and a couple at Eielson, and we came back up here 40 years ago last month in March. We got here.
I see. Did you? How long did the contracts at the bases last?
Well, we pretty much finished them up in the winter of 49-50, and then we picked up a few more jobs. Dad did the addition on St. Joseph's Hospital after that, and we started a shop out in Big Bend. We called it West Coast Plumbing in those days, and then it became Yukon Supply, and last thing it was called was Amfac Supply.
Uh-huh. Down at the end of Cushman there.
Mm-hmm.
And how long did you have that particular business?
Well, I stayed with Dad, and we sold out in 53 to Wilbur Bell. I went in the old territorial police then, and then Dad took the business back in 56.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple other fellas came in with what was my share of it, mm-hmm, Red Porter and Joe Vanconia.
You know what I want to talk about is the territorial police, and I want to get back with you in just 1 minute after a couple of announcements that we have here. We'll take care of some of the fine sponsors that take care of Alaska Gold Trails. And we also want to remind the listening audience here that if you have a question for Emery Chapel, our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255, and you're certainly welcome to just give us a call here. Ask Emery a question. If he can't answer it, well, maybe we'll have to have him back another time. But don't put him on the spot now, folks. But please give us a call, and if you have a question or care to make a comment here on Alaska Gold Trails. I'd like to take a minute to let all my friends here in the interior of Alaska know about the Days Inn Motel in Anchorage, Alaska. Whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, at the Days Inn Anchorage you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. Some of the conveniences that you will expect to find at the Days Inn include an airport limousine, airport courtesy telephone, a 24-hour restaurant, free local calls, and get this, an exercise facility, and of course, a lounge. Now, Days Inn is located, centrally located, at 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova in Anchorage, Alaska. For reservations, you need but to call their toll-free number at 1-800-325-2525. Once again, their toll-free number is 1-800-325-2525, and tell them you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails right here on KFAR Radio.
Mother's Day is May 14th, and Cherry Tree Fabrics in Washington Plaza Mall is having a special seminar on May 6th, a seminar that will show you how to make that special gift for Mom. Or just get a gift certificate and let Mom choose from spring and summer fabrics, interchangeable needle kits, or a new pair of Ginger scissors in all types. Find a gift for Mom, make it for her, or let her choose her own at Cherry Tree Fabrics, open 7 days a week in the Washington Plaza Mall.
You know, last week, my guest was Hector from Hector's Welding. And Hector wanted me to give you a message here, folks, and let you know that he's kind of halfway retired from Hector's Welding now, and that his son and daughter-in-law has taken over the business, and they're now in charge of the place, and that he just drops by once in a while to pick up the check. And he also wanted me to tell you that, you know, over the years that he's been happy to have developed and served the placer mining community of the interior of Alaska. And I don't know if you're familiar with the fabrication of mining equipment that has been performed out there at Hector's, and that is widely acknowledged as some of the finest placer mining equipment in the state as well as in North America. They do a lot of types of work welding jobs out there. Among them, of course, they replace dozer blade liners, they rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks. They do heavy equipment repairs and modifications. And of course, like I said earlier, mining equipment fabrication is their specialty, including sluice boxes, conveyors, feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. They also fabricate specialized riffles and punch plates. And as the mining community understands, that sometimes it takes a particular type of riffle system to accommodate that particular kind of gold that you might have on any given stream. So wherever Alaska's miners are working, it's Hector's, which is the first name in gold recovery equipment. And they're located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Their phone number is 488-6432. So give them a call out there if you have interests in placer mining or fabrication of mining equipment. Their phone number, once again, is 488-6432. And once again, I'd like to remind the listening audience that we're here with Emery Chappell, and if you'd like to ask Emery a question or make a comment or talk to Emery about something that he's done through his life here in Alaska, just give us a call. The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Emery, we were talking just a little while ago about the territorial police and the fact that you took a position with them. What year was that again?
It was in 1953. The territorial police were created, and then in the winter of 53-54, they hired the first one that was...
Is that right? Let's see if what a caller might have to ask you, Emery. Hi, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm on the air. I was just calling about Cassio that was on the problem corner this morning. From Nenana. There's a number, phone number. That's what
I'm sorry. I think what you should do is probably call our office number.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, go ahead. We were on the, Emery, we were talking about the territorial police and when you joined it.
Yes, there had been a highway patrol in Alaska for, since the middle 40s, and then the 53 legislature, territorial legislature, created the territorial police, which... they hired 10 of us to start, and with the highway patrolman and us 10, I think we had about 30 people in the state. That was the start of what's now the troopers.
Where were you stationed first off, Emery?
Right here in Fairbanks.
And how long were you here?
Until 1961. I spent most of my time out in the bush, Nome, Kotzebue, and in between, but I was stationed here in Fairbanks, and I worked here in Fairbanks for quite a bit.
What kind of town was Fairbanks during those days? Did you have a tough time as an officer, or was it pretty peaceful, or kind of hometown?
Oh yeah, it was. I guess you always look back at things as better than they are now, but there was a lot more activity in those days. There were a lot more things going on. But not the kind of problems they have today.
Uh-huh.
We probably did more, help more people, and tried to get people to live together more than they do now. It was a different world then.
What was the major problem in Fairbanks in those days? Can you give us some examples of problems that might occur? Not necessarily names of people, but some kind of.
Oh, we had our share of. Well, as an example, in those days we had probably 10 or 12 imported floor shows going on all the time, so there was more nightclub activity than there is today.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't have the drugs. We had lots of booze. Everybody had booze in those days, and lots of it, and it was not the big deal they make of it today.
Mm-hmm.
We had our armed robberies and our murders, and I personally spent quite a bit of time flying on search and rescues and body recoveries up here. It was a rewarding job. We had a feeling we were helping people more than they can. They can't have that feeling today. It's got too modern now.
Mm-hmm.
We were part of the community.
Part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you went on search and rescue. Is this when something like a people would get lost in the bush or something of that nature, Emery?
Yeah. Plane crashes or plane missing or old timers would die out there and somebody'd find them and I'd go out and bring them in, and that was part of our work in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I flew on most of the searches from, probably 56 to 61 up here, all the missing airplanes. So.
Mm-hmm. I imagine you got you were pretty well known by all the miners and the people. Of course, I guess Fairbanks was just about all mining community at that time, other than the bases, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think I'm probably one of the few people that ever came to Fairbanks that didn't work for the FE company.
Is that right? Now, Emery, we got a call here. Let's take it and see what we got. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is George Gordon, and I've known Emery a long time, and I think you might be interested if he told you what number is on his Alaska driver's license, considering that most of us have in the 500,000 number, and the story behind that might be interesting.
Oh, Emery, do you care to comment on that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
Okay.
My driver's license number 10.
Number 10?
In 1954, the Territorial Police undertook to sell driver's licenses, and there was a new system, so we kept off of the first 100 numbers. And my badge number was 8, and I asked for 8, but somebody else got number 8, so I took number 10, and I've had it ever since.
I'll be darned.
They've now put four or five zeros in front of it for the computers, but it's still number 10.
Still number 10.
Mm.
I'll be darned. Well, that's interesting. Thanks, George, and we appreciate that. Anybody else got any comments like that they'd like to send us or ask? The number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-822, and feel free to give us a call. So you were on a lot of search and rescue type missions. Emery, that probably took you to a lot of the villages in Alaska as well, especially interior Alaska.
Yeah, I imagine at one time or another I've been to, I can't hardly think of any village in the northern half of Alaska that I haven't been to, or in most of the fish camps one time or another. It was a lot different country then, and a lot of good people out there. And most of the problems out there were just when people got too much to drink and got carried away. And it was a pleasure to go around out there, and you talked to people, and they were honest and sincere. I enjoyed it in those days.
I want to talk a little bit in just a minute about the villages and what they were like, and share some of my experiences with you, Emery, and that I've traveled to some of them and what I saw, and see if they were similar back in the late 50s to what they were when I experienced them in the early 70s, right after these couple of messages.
When you want the best deal, there's just one place to see.
How would you like a 50% reduction on the sticker price of your next new car or truck? With Ford Motor Credit Company's Red Carpet Lease Program, we can do it for you. Now, we didn't think it up. It's nationwide, but there's only one place in this town where you can get this good a deal on your next new car or truck.
Best deal anywhere is right here. I'm seeking for Lincoln Mercury.
Keepsakes and snapshots, old clocks and dogs, hanging up pictures, stacking up logs. Everyday people are making new friends, and it's starting to feel like home. Getting settled in, life's looking better than it's ever been before. Our new home and dreams, it's what we've been waiting for.
Call your real estate agent today about affordable HUD homes.
Each morning during Problem Corner, hear all the latest developments live from Valdez, Monday through Saturday, with Pat Lynn and Kerry Anderson. They'll bring you up to date on the latest inside details on the oil spill, what's being done and how. The Valdez Report, every morning during Problem Corner in the 10 o'clock hour. It's brought to you live in the public interest by Rothmeyer Optical in West Valley Plaza and by Jean's Chrysler Plymouth Dodge at 1804 South Cushman.
Folks, do you know where the miners sell their gold? They sell it to the precious metals people. And you know them as Oxford Assaying and Refining. And Oxford Assaying and Refining is located at 208 Wendell Street right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And in addition to buying gold from the miners, they also have some fascinating gift ideas in terms of gold and silver coins and ingots, which are always a pleasure to receive, and they're a pleasure to give as well. But if you have someone special in mind that wants a special gift, perhaps you might want to go over to Oxford Assaying and Refining and take a look at some of their gold nuggets that they have available that have come from the various mines throughout Alaska, and keeping in mind that no two natural nuggets are the same. So you can select from their wide variety of nuggets to that one particular nugget that might just be appealing to that someone special in your life. That's Oxford Assaying and Refining. Once again, they're located at 208 Wendell Street, and their phone number is 456-3967. They also have a metals quote line available to you in case you're interested in the prices of gold, silver, and platinum each day. You can give them a call at 452-7858 for the daily quote on these precious metals. Once again, for the daily quote, 452-7858. And for information from the fine people over there at Oxford Assaying and Refining, the number is 456-3967. And tell them that you heard about their business from Alaskan Gold Trails here. And once again, we're here, and my guest is Emery Chapel, and we were talking about some of the villages that Emery had visited through his experience on the territorial police, with the territorial police. And Emery, you know, I've traveled to some of the villages where I've taught classes, and my classes generally ran about a month at a time. I taught every night. I've been to places like McGrath and Antioch and Shagaluk and Fort Yukon and Barrow and things of that nature. And I remember taking something like Antioch, one of the villages, kind of a standard little village. It had you wouldn't call it a roadhouse because there's no real road that goes there, but at the airport they had a hotel of sorts, and had mighty thin walls, I remember that, and it had probably 8 rooms in it, and it was being run, I can't remember the chap's name, he was one of the miners in the mercury mines that operated out in western Alaska, I can't remember the name of the big mine right off, but there was a series of mines right out in the Antioch area that were mercury deposits. And he had worked in there for many years, and then he opened up the lodge there at Antioch. There was an airstrip, and then a series of houses surrounding the area. And that was just basically it. I think there was also a trading post store associated with it, and that was Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, there was some alcohol, although Antioch was dry. I think that the folks there found a way to bring in their beverages. And there wasn't anything real exciting going on other than, there was no wild festivities going on. So when I came to town, I was the only act in town, so everybody came to my class. That was nice. And so I had a full class. But is that kind of the way most of the towns were when you first started visiting them?
Yeah, quite a bit. Strange you should mention Antioch. It used to be one of my favorite places. The people named Butch and Dave Leach were school teachers there, and they had the lodge.
Uh-huh.
They had the lodge when I used to stay there. And there was the trading post you speak of was NC Company in those days.
NC Company had trading posts on almost in every village, didn't they?
At one time or another, they and the Alaska Commercial Company, and they were partially joined for a while, and the mercury mine you're speaking of was Red Devil up just outside of Sleep Mute.
Right.
Yeah, I've been in there several times. Yeah, I used to like it down there. There was Antioch, a great place for fishing, great place for goose hunting. Go about halfway between there and Holy Cross out there in those lakes, and there's great, great goose hunting.
And you've been, so things probably didn't change too much in those bush communities, have they?
No, I think by
1970.
Yeah, I think the most there's been a lot of change come into them in the last 10 or 12 years. When I was out there, I thought there's some of the greatest people in the world out there, and I enjoyed them, and I got along good with everybody, and I think there's been some problems created as a result of the times we're having that make them less pleasant, probably both for the people that live there and for people that go there.
Look, we got a call here, Emery. Hi, you're on with Emery Chapel.
I'd like to ask him about, I understand he is a minor, is that correct?
No, Emery Chapel was a territorial police officer. And he was during the 1950s. I'll let him answer the question. He's not a miner. No, but feel free to ask him a mining question. Perhaps we can still give you the answer.
But I'd like him to comment on what he thinks of all the regulations and red tape that we have to deal with these days.
Well, do you want to give that a shot, Emery?
Oh, yeah. I have a great faculty for putting my foot in my mouth. I think that here in Alaska, in all facets of our life, and probably particularly in mining, but in all facets of our life, we've got carried away with regulations. I think we've reached a point here in Alaska where we're probably the most regulated people in the American flag. And like I say, I have a tendency to put my foot in my mouth, but I think we've got enough bureaucracy for four or five states.
There you have it, my friend.
Thank
you very much for the call. Emery, I wanted to talk a little bit more. Well, since we're on mining, let me ask you a question. Do you ever recall, you know, a lot of people come up to Alaska these days and they say, I'm afraid to go out into the bush because if I step on somebody's mining claim, they might shoot me. In all your time as a police officer, do you ever recall of any claims, people going on claims where they got shot? Back in the early days here?
No, I never was involved in anybody getting shot. I've involved in a couple of cases regarding mining claims, but I never saw anybody get shot over.
Yeah, I think somebody's having a fantasy about this shooting. You know, it's a lot more illegal to shoot somebody than it is to walk on their claim. I think you're going to get in a heap more trouble shooting people.
Yeah.
I don't know where people nowadays get the idea that they either have the right to point a gun at somebody or confront them with physical violence, or that they will be confronted with that. And I should, you know, I'm going to sound a note on behalf of the miners that I know. I have seen, and we just talked about regulations, I've seen the regulators come out to mines. I've seen visitors come out to mines, people that didn't even know where they were come out to mines. And I've seen these people be brought into the mess hall, set down to a great meal, and talk about it with the miners, and they're warmly welcomed. And
yeah.
I have never seen a case where anybody, or even heard of a case where anybody ever got shot at or shot by crossing the boundary of a mining claim.
No, I never did either, and I was always well received around mining claims. Of course, there's certain protocol. If you got any class at all, you don't ask them how much gold they got. And I'm sure some people come in that don't have much understanding might get the impression that they don't want to talk very much, but they're just good people. Most of them hard workers trying to make it go, and they're just good independent people, most of them.
You bet. They're hard workers. Now, Emery, I also understand that you had an opportunity to go to bornite, which is a pretty heavy copper deposit up in the Brooks Range. Is that right?
Yes. I was in and around there all the way from the days when a guy named Berg first prospected it, and then he and Jack Bullock, and then they sold out to an outfit called Bear Creek, which is a subsidiary of Kennecott. I was in and around there quite a bit, and then I got to be around there when they were drilling the shaft or digging the shaft that went down. I got down into the 900-foot level before they lost it to the water.
Oh, it flooded out on them, did it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that must have been an interesting thing. Yeah. Hey, you got another call here, Emery. Hi, you're on the radio with Emery Chappell.
Hello, Emery. This is Rochelle.
Hi, Rochelle.
Emery, Bob and I are enjoying listening to you so much. Feels like we're in your living room. Only a little bit better, a little more business-like. And I just wanted to tell all that audience out there that you're also a terrific neighbor and a great pilot. And you've helped me out so many times. Bob flies every day, day in and day out, all summer. And because he flies so many, many, many times every day, once in a great while, he's overdue. And I call you in an absolute panic. And you call for the weather. You calm my worries. You go out and look. You go pick up our hunters. You go pick up our fishermen. You figure out what's happening. I've appreciated it many, many times over the years.
Well, thank you, Rochelle.
Oh, I wanted to say one more thing, if Mr. Madonna will allow me. Are you going to tell about what you do right now?
What do I do right now?
Yeah, I mean...
I'm retired.
Well, a little. You also run a wonderful, wonderful car wash. Can I say something about it?
It's you're on, Rochelle. Go with it, kid.
It's okay, huh?
Sure.
Listen, Emery, you have a terrific car wash on University Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it has several of these places you drive in. But the one I like best is the one you go into, and it's absolutely automatic, you know?
Okay.
If I'm going in with three little kids, it doesn't make any difference. All I do is drive up to it, and I put my money in, and I drive right into it. I sit and read a book, and the red light comes on, and the car is totally washed, or else I can put an extra dollar in and get it waxed, too.
Okay. All right.
Good service. Come on, Emery. Don't be shy. You have a good business there.
This reminds me of a couple of weeks ago when I was over there, and I flooded out my car and ran the battery down. Rochelle, let me just, since we're going to plug the car wash.
Why not?
I flooded the engine with water, got it all wet, and it wouldn't start. And another chap and I had to push it out of the stall, not the automatic stall, by the way, that you're talking about, Rochelle, but one of the other stalls. And so Emery came over, and he had some dry distributor drying material, and he sprayed it on the distributor and dried it all out. And then, of course, I had to have a jump, and he jumped my car. And I thought, gee, you know, that's really frontier spirit there. And I had never met Emery before that time. And then I talked to him a little bit there, and then decided that he would certainly be a good guest on this show. So... I appreciate that car wash, too.
And yeah, Rochelle, and he is. He's a true Alaskan, and he's like that in everything, Mr. Madonna. I mean, if the plumbing doesn't work, if the electricity, any of the neighbors here, he's still out of the
driveway. I'm going to tell this audience something, Rochelle, okay? Let me tell the audience something. First of all, just because I'm your teacher doesn't mean you have to call me Mr. Madonna. My name is Jim, okay? And I want to thank you for calling.
Okay.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, just Emery, you're doing a fine job. You're a good neighbor.
Thank you, Rochelle.
Next door to me.
All right, thank you.
Bye, Rochelle. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, Emery?
Hi.
Yeah, Jack Muller from Nome.
Who?
Jack Muller from Nome.
Oh, Jackie, how are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, I got a quit. Weren't you the first real uniformed cop state policeman over in Nome?
Yeah, I was the first one to come out there.
Yeah. That was me, but we'll have a little.
If you'll remember, about 30 years ago, I tried to talk you into going into...
Yeah, I still got the letter, too.
Yeah.
Well, you're still doing great.
Okay, Jack, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah. And we're going to take a little break here for just a second.
All right.
You have a disease. A disease that will kill you if you don't do something about it. Now, you tell that to most folks, and they're going to get some help right now. On the other hand, tell that to an alcoholic and, well, they're going to get mad. They're going to tell you there's nothing wrong with them and to get off their back. And they're going to tell you they can handle this disease that's going to kill them. So how can you get through that incredible wall of denial that an alcoholic addict hides behind? Here in Fairbanks, one successful way is through intervention and Milam Recovery Center. Milam Recovery Center offers intervention help at no charge. medically supervised professionals work together with family and friends to get the alcoholic into the recovery process, even people who don't think they have a problem or think they can take care of it by themselves. Give us a call. We're in the book. Milam. M-I-L-A-M. Milam Recovery Center. Ask about intervention. It's free. It really does work.
Of all the toppings you can have on a pizza, there's one topping that pizza simply wouldn't be pizza without, and that's cheese. Perhaps that's why Godfather's Pizza puts more of it on than almost anybody. Just ask the Chechiks.
Our dairy produces cheese in great volume.
And we're one of the few operations that's vertically integrated.
Good point, dear. We own everything from the cheese slicer right down to the cow's udder. Hence our corporate philosophy, one hand washes the other.
The udder. Maybe that's why Godfather's Pizza is our biggest client. Mm. They go through a lot of cheese.
Yes, 7,700 tons, according to this report.
In fact, they keep us so busy, we've got 9 cows working the midnight shift.
Which is hard because their cowbells tend to keep the roosters up and we oversleep.
Enjoy your Godfather's Pizza and take life one bite at a time.
Folks, let me talk just a little bit about Robbie Ginther and Tip Top Chevrolet Buick, located at 1916 South Cushman. I want to talk about his pickups over there. You've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history, and it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape, with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system. And instant track shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. And don't forget, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. And another fine sponsor of Alaska Gold Trails is Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, a light truck, motorhome, or a big rig, for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. You know, a couple of years ago, Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has 2 large shops and 8 mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, folks, with that much attention, you will get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. And you know, Gabe's, as far as I know, is the originator of the no-pass, no-pay policy on the IM inspection. That's right, folks. If you don't pass, you don't pay at Gabe's. And don't forget that Gabe's has a special towing service. He has 3 wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size load. So, getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. You might want to write that number down. Put it in your glove box in case an emergency arises. Once again, their number is 456-6156. You know where they're located? They're located right off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. That's 2058 Donald Road, 2058 Donald Road. Or their phone number, once again, is 456-6156. And once again, folks, we're here with Emery Chappell. We just got a few seconds to go. We're going to wind this up with Emery. And Emery, tell us a little bit about your experiences in Nome. You were stationed in Nome for quite a while. The last caller just made comment on that.
See, I was in and out of Nome from 55 through about 58. Nome, Kotzebue, and all the coast out there. And I traveled around to, like Jackie Muller called. I was the first state policeman, territorial policeman to ever come out there.
Is that right?
And it was very interesting.
Guess what, Emery?
You're out of time.
We're out of time, my friend. Emery Chappell, I want to thank you for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails today. Thanks so much.
Been my pleasure. Thank you.
Next week's guest, you're not going to believe it, Mary Binkley will be here with me. And I want to thank the listening audience for joining me here on Alaska Gold Trail today. Until next week, folks, happy prospecting.